You're listening to Currency of Style Podcast, episode number 11. Welcome to Currency of Style Podcast. I am your host, Eva Kelly. This podcast is about supporting women rise in their career, encouraging you to reach for new opportunities and to find more success by elevating your style.
Hi, Elva. It's so lovely to have you here on the podcast today. Elva works in two capacities, in a director role at Grab and as assistant professor at Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. So I really wanted to have you come on the podcast, Elva, with such a perfect mix of science and business in your career and managing to keep a foot in both. For those listening, the reason I know Elva is we were both doing our PhD at Oxford University around the same time. We hung out quite a lot either at Begbroke Science Park or at the good old College Pops. And that's going quite a bit back now. It's been 10 years. And we were both also interested in applied science and in the commercialization of science. So we also both did the Building a Business and Science Innovation Plus courses at the SAE Business School. So Elva, thank you for being here today.
You're most welcome. Really excited to be here.
So let's go back to the beginning. Growing up, was it always your intention to study science at university?
To be very honest, I had no clue. All I knew was that I was really interested in mathematics. It makes me feel that I get that sense of little achievement when I can crack a hard problem. That's all I knew growing up. And later on, I think through many other experimentation, for example, internships, then I realized, I'm pretty interested and passionate to pursue further.
Okay, yeah, great. So what did you decide to take at university and how did you make that choice?
It was quite a challenging decision back then, actually, because of two faults. One is that I didn't want to just pursue a degree because of everybody else is doing so. So I actually did a detour. Before my degree, I worked for 1 year and then really tried to experience what the working life is like. And do I really, really want to pursue? And number two, what exactly, which fields should I be, you know, pursuing? So that really is not very typical, but helped me a lot. Yes. But helped me a lot to really understand what's required out there in the actual field. And then number two, I think what really helped me back then was that as I was figuring out what I want to pursue, I spoke to a lot of people and I spoke to one of this lady who studied at what we call NTU, Nanyang Technological University, which I ended up at. And her passion and her energy just really influenced me and made up my mind in the end that, hey, this is the right move for me before I committed.
Yeah, brilliant. That's so unusual. That's so unique to kind of take a step back and decide I'm going to work for 1 year and see, is this what I want? Because so many of us are just pushed towards doing the degree. It's just the accepted way. And I love that you decided for yourself if this is really what you want. Were your parents worried at that point?
I'm not sure, actually. I didn't ask a specific question. Hey, are you worried? All I was trying to decide was, okay, do I know what exactly what I want to study? I don't feel like I'm exactly clear and I don't want to just pick anything and regret later. But that's my choice. I think if for any other person out there, if you do have, you know, opportunities to figure that out early, that would be good. But I think the journey that I went through that I'm really pleased about is that I actually took some time and then really figure out what I like and what I'm passionate about. So that really served me well.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about your time at university. Was it like a 4-year course at Singapore?
Yeah, it was supposed to be 4 years, but not like me. I completed in 3 years. And it was really, really fruitful, actually. So what I did was that in, I think, second year, I had to exchange huge opportunity in Germany that really opened up my mind and really broadens in terms of my choices moving forward. And number two, there were quite a bit of research opportunities coming up along the way. So I took the chance to really understand what kind of topics are out there, and then in the end landed at solar energy. So I think my suggestion is just, you know, maximize your time in university and don't only do courses, but anything else that you might be interested in, just give it a try. You may end up liking it, like my case.
Yeah. And how did you come to realize that you wanted to get a PhD?
Yes, that's kind of related to what I briefly mentioned just now. So back then, I was in Germany and there's research opportunities, there's 3D printing and a few other topics, and I decided to go with solar. Just try it out for less than a year, and I loved it. So I extended another year. I still really like it. And I back then, my passion just directed me towards, okay, I want to go deeper and then really specialize in solar, and then want to create something that really improves how the world is powered. So, I mean, looking back, I have evolved a little today, but that's my strong belief. And I made sure that I talked to relevant folks. Like, I did speak to quite a few professors, and including one who actually studied at Oxford and gave me valuable advice and made up my mind in the end, yes, this is the right option for me.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And tell me about just after your PhD. So was it difficult to find work? I know you have this amazing credential of Oxford PhD, but did you find that helped when you went home to Singapore? Or maybe was it your network that helped you get that first job?
I'm not going to sugarcoat. It's very, very hard. The reason is I wanted to pivot a little. Let me maybe frame that way. So a natural progression, I guess, to continue with a postdoc and at least in a field of research, and one day become an academia professor or what. To me, I knew clearly through my PhD that I want to be closer to market, have faster speed to impact in terms of my value add to the community. I'm interested in the business side of things. So it's not a natural progression that I took. Therefore, it was quite challenging for many roles, like business roles out there. My specialization is not going to 100% contributing to what they are looking for. So it was not easy. What I did was just really, I guess my old tactic, really speak to as many people as possible and then put myself out there. And in the end, I found something happy, but it took me some time.
Yeah.
A few months, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Because I was also trying to go into the business side of science as well to make that impact faster. Because you spend 4 years doing the PhD where the research is slowly incremental. So I was similar to you in that sense. But the networking is a great tip. So you just go out. Yes. Did you go to particular conferences or events that helped?
Conferences, events. I also actually have a tracker of all the companies that I'm interested in, the people I should be talking to, what's the status of our conversation, and what's the likely outcome. So I have a clear view of where I need to head towards to and what's the status. So I guess that really helps to really structure my mind and then just step by step marching towards the direction I want to go.
Yeah. Tell us about your first job after university.
The job was actually to manage research projects and commercialize that. What we call within probably about 3 years roadmap for commercialization. So it's a sweet spot to me because of on one end, I can leverage my research capability and expertise to understand, for example, the research proposal, stuff like that, and then be able to understand our communication and assessments and plans with professors and research institutes. On the other end, I really work very closely with the industry to understand what the user needs actually. What does the market want? And does this research able to address that? Let's say if we can commercialize in 3 years' time, for example. So that's basically in a nutshell what I did. then quite a few technology that I managed are very close to what I studied as well at Oxford. For example, solar integration, and how do we combine that with electric vehicles, how to make our national grid smarter so that we can integrate all these newer technologies. So that's kind of a sweet spot in terms of leveraging my strength and also where I want to head towards.
Yeah, fantastic. I just want to go back to that idea of having this spreadsheet of all the companies. So did you actually ring them up or did you email them or did you try to meet them in person?
I did all of those. I guess just have to be a bit thicker skin because many of them can be a cold reach out. So sometimes I just Google who's the CEO, who's the decision maker, and then reach out and try my luck. Often than not, actually, you'll be surprised. They are pretty generous in giving their time. And then we just chit-chat about, you know, what our interests are and explore if there is a potential match, which is a bonus.
Okay, very good advice. Mm-hmm. So how did you decide to move from science then into business?
Yeah, so number one is what we both echo in terms of speed to impact. And then I think you can echo my second point in terms of our passion in commercializing our research. And in addition, I'm also an extrovert. I'm really, really keen to be able to work closely with people. So all this combined together, I decided that's where I should be moving forward.
Yeah, that's so true. You do have that personality for reaching out and meeting people and everything. So yeah,
that brings me positive energy. I think it's just trying to learn about yourself and then know yourself better and then try to, you know, match what you do with what naturally brings you positive energy.
Yeah. Did you take any personality tests or any other way to find out your strength?
Yes, I did actually. Like a proper nerd, did that quite a different types of personality tests. I actually did one recently with my whole team. Actually, as we speak, next Tuesday, we're going to have a team meeting, learn about each other's strengths and how to work better with each other. So I always find if you make a team event, it's not only helpful, but it's also fun. Last time we did a bird test. So, oh, you're a dove and you're an eagle. So it's quite fun in addition to being pretty helpful.
Yeah. What's the name of the test you recommend for people?
Ah, well, I quite like the bird test. Actually.
Bird, is it B-I-R-D?
Yeah, B-I-R-D. So there are four different types of birds. Describe the type of strength that you bring. The most recent one I did, I believe it's called Clifton. Oh my goodness, I cannot really remember clearly, but it's a paid service and it's pretty detailed and I think there are 16 different types of personality and then they match the top five and bottom five where we should be aware of as we work with each other.
And how did you land your current role? So you're a director at Grab?
Yeah, so it's quite a journey actually. I was with Uber previously and Uber's Southeast Asia business merged with my current company. So Uber exited the markets. The entire Uber Southeast Asia business is shut down, basically. I was actually in Oxford back then. So it's the first time I actually took a trip back to Oxford to visit some old friends and old professors. And it was all rosy until this announcement is made. It feels like, wow, it's such a huge thing. I went back for social visits. So I was on the way to Canada and then we thought we need to stop over somewhere anyways. And I want to visit, especially two of the professors I really, really loved. Their health is not doing very well. So I just want to make sure I visit them and also old friends. So it's supposed to be a really happy trip. And then this happened at the same time. So I just have to figure it out remotely and immediately after I come back. It feels like, wow, it's such a huge thing. Everybody was crying. Literally, I'm not joking or calling me and crying because of the feeling of you were dedicating towards a mission and that suddenly just crashed. So a lot of my colleagues were not dealing with this well. I think by being away from many of them helped in the sense that I kind of feel less emotional, but I do really miss being with them. But anyways, back to your question, how did I land my current role? So after that happens, I did my usual due diligence. So I take a step back, again, have my little notebook of all the companies I'm interested in and talk to as many as, well, I say as many as possible, but within the companies I'm interested in. So no waste time with companies not interested in. Then including Grab, of course, in the end, landed at the team, which basically what we do is internal consulting. We can work on any project and any country. So I'm really kind of motivated by the mission and the type of work and the people I will be working with. And that was a fantastic decision because I really, really love what we do at Grab, and our senior leaders are all super amazing. Our colleagues are really amazing. So yeah, that's kind of how I landed here. I was not expecting it, but turns out to be one of the best happened in my life. So luckily I found what I like.
Okay, fantastic. Can you tell us a bit more about your current role at Grab?
Yes, of course. So the first role I described, actually I moved on about 2+ years ago. Grab has quite a few different stakeholders, like customer stakeholders, for example, our driver partners, our users, and our merchant businesses. And the team, the regional merchant team, was kind of newly formed about 2 to 3 years ago. So the time that I was considering to join, the thing really attracted me a few fold. Number one, since it's a newer team, I get to participate in forming a strategy and build the team from ground up. And number two is the people. There are a couple of really reputable, I really loved working with them. Back then I loved interacting with them. So that really attracted me and served me really well till today. Very excited about all the exciting things we are doing with our different types of merchant partners.
Okay, fantastic. What does Grab do?
So we are a super app. We have quite a few different business verticals. One would be rides, for example, private hire. Number two would be deliveries, food deliveries, for example. And within that space, we could have supermarkets like a mart business, we could have kitchen business, and a few other, for example, dine-in business, like you go to a restaurant and you order on a spot. And then another business vertical would be financial services, actually. So under that will be payment, e-wallet, lending, digibank. In addition to that, another very critical business vertical we have is advertisements. We have a huge marketplace with coverage of users and merchant partners. So we bring value from that way as well.
And do you manage people, Elva?
Yes, yes.
Do you have any tips for the listeners on managing people?
Yes, I think number one is understand what motivates each of them. Don't assume. Different team members have different motivation and different strengths. So get to know them slowly. And then what I always try to do, and without promising that I will be able to always do, is try to match their interests with the scope that we have on the table. It's much better if, you know, we utilize each individual's strength and then match towards their interests. So that's number one. Number two is really trust them to give them the space and autonomy to deliver. That's the way how I operate the best. And I believe most people would prefer that as well. So that's usually how I would manage. Less of a managing, more of a supporting, I would say, my team members.
Yeah, very good. Very good. And how many people do you manage?
I have 10 plus for now. I'm going to take on another role in 2 weeks' time. So there will be a few more that I will be supporting.
That's so impressive. Then I also noticed recently from looking at your LinkedIn that you also work as an assistant professor at the university in Singapore. Can you tell me how that opportunity came about or how you made that decision?
Yes, I can answer both. How did that come about? In one of my previous work engagements, I get to know a professor. And we kept in touch, and he reached out to say, hey, I just joined NTU recently. Would you be interested? And I met the dean. I met a few professors in charge and go through a very detailed structured and lengthy process of approval. And in the end, I was appointed to a junior position.
That's such a big achievement. I mean, that's fantastic. And it's so exciting that you get to stay involved in the research end of things or the academic field and be this like high-powered director businesswoman. So it's really exciting.
It's less of research, more of teaching and a few other capacity. For example, when there's a competition or seminars. So it's the value I see myself able to bring is the bridge between academia and business world, because there will be a lot of professors who are really strong in a very specific field of research. So I don't intend to do that. Instead, because of I came from research in the past, and I have been doing business for a while and always be interested in commercializing my own research in between. So that's where I can really uniquely value add and kind of give a more realistic expectation to the students in terms of how do industry look like out there and how can they sharpen their skill set to be more ready to go out.
Yeah. Is it difficult to balance both the professor work and then your current job?
Okay, what I'm about to say may sound a little easy to say and cliche, but I do believe if you love what you do, it doesn't feel like work anymore. But realistically, am I working at night? Yes. Am I working over the weekend? Yes. But I think what's really important to me is to get to know what my passion is, and that brings me a lot of joy, and work no longer feel like work.
Yeah, that's so true. That's amazing. Yeah to find that passion, and it sounds like you really have found it.
Yeah, I'm having fun, and along the way, along the hard work.
Yeah. So what do you see as next for you, Alva?
Briefly mentioned just now, so I'm going to take on another role in 2 weeks' time, so that's going to be super exciting.
And, is your director role, is the title of your role going to change?
We will get there. We haven't even discussed that level of details, but I will remain fully committed to my current role. So it's a double hatting another role internally. Together with these two and the adjunct assistant professor role, I think will keep me busy and very motivated. Yeah. For the time being, and we shall figure out what's next after that.
Yeah. Who inspired you, Alva, as you progressed in your career, or who mentored you?
A lot of mentors along the way. I'm pretty good at asking questions and asking for help. So in school, I tend to really talk to my teachers because my parents are very far away since I studied abroad. And then in university, I always go to professor, even for really important life decisions, like where should I study next, and things that, you know, it's not their core responsibility in terms of teaching a course. And at work, I go to the senior leaders I look up to. There are some of the leaders I worked with, and I really love the way how they carry themselves, and I really respect them. So I just literally reach out and then arrange sessions. And towards the end, if we feel the chemistry is right, then we'll ask the question, hey, would you mind to formalize our relationship, the mentorship relationship? And is this cadence comfortable for you? And then you always should take responsibility and be proactive in terms of planning. What's the agenda? What's the goal? How do you want to carry the session? So yeah, I benefited a lot from mentors and coaches.
Do you have a mentor right now?
I do. I have a few mentors and I have coaches.
Oh my God, tell us more.
Yeah, so one of the mentors, she is very amazing. She always goes very straight to the points. I love talking to her, and she can just do, I feel, anything under the sky. So she's the one I briefly mentioned. I literally just reach out and say, hey, would you mind to be my mentor? Is this cadence all right for you? So she's not alone. Sometimes I do have other mentors slightly more ad hoc. Usually it's when I have a specific topic in mind, and then I will schedule a session. I will say, hey, I want to ask you advice for this topic. And then usually we have a 1 hour session. So what I would always do is to be very prepared in terms of what my asks are and what my thoughts are, and then just take it from there. So that's mentors. I also have coaches, so professional coaches. I literally had a coaching session a few hours ago. So we set goals and we're checking how I'm doing against that. It's very, very helpful to have someone professional to talk to.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I've not met anybody so far who has a professional life coach, is it?
Both life coach and specific topic coaches.
Ah, okay, brilliant. And you meet them once a month or once a week?
So for the current one, I meet her once a week. We may reduce to every 2 weeks, but so far we're doing once a week. And just half an hour. So although sometimes it takes 10 to 45 minutes, but usually we try to just do half an hour checking how things are, if there's any topic that bothers me that I really want somebody to talk to, that's when it's become really helpful. Otherwise, I do have a goal that I set with my coach, and we'll see how I'm progressing towards that.
That's so good. You're so proactive in taking charge of your career and your life. And I think absolutely coaching is brilliant for keeping you on track and having somebody there to hold you accountable for your goals, I guess.
Yes, not to sugarcoat, sometimes can be I feel a little bit embarrassed. At times when we set a goal, we have a plan, and I feel I'm lagging behind. And for such cases, I would just be honest. And we're all human beings, it's all right. But I do find it super, super helpful. I think in probably a couple of months' time, I'm discussing to have an exec coach as well. So we shall see, you know, how that works. Looking forward to it.
So what advice do you have for other women seeking to advance their career in STEM?
Okay, so what I think is important is to be very sure this is the field you are most interested in. And how to test that out, internship, for example, just talking to people, try things out, that's the best way. Just make sure that this is something brings you joy and positive energy, because it's not an easy field. So that's number one. Number two is once you come to peace with yourself and make sure that, yes, I confirm this is something I'm interested in, then just put in the hard work and commitment. There will be challenges along the way, many challenges. And point number one will serve point number two well, basically your passion and joy, the sense of achievement you get from there would help you and me, I guess, to overcome those challenges along the way.
Yeah, that's very good advice. Mm-hmm. Have you ever experienced a challenge being a woman in STEM?
At some point, it does become apparent that I notice I might be the only one or two women in the entire room. And I guess one of the local things in Singapore, people like to address each other in a very informal and friendly way is brother, basically bro, and wouldn't work for me, but the entire room would be male. So I guess I try not to place too much emphasis on them, on that aspect. It's really about what value I can bring. And I think as a woman, we need to believe we have a playing field, and so we will deliver what we believe in, and don't be too bothered by external factors. If anything, try to turn that into positive energy. I guess it's a bit easier to say, but my point is try not to be too affected by factors that are just facts and you can't change much. Yeah,
exactly. It's about your mindset. And as you say,
yes,
not focus on the fact that you're a minority in this room, but just focus on you can deliver what you want to deliver. And that's an important part.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Mm.
Would you have any advice for people who are looking to get a promotion in their company?
Wow, that's a tricky topic. I would say maybe a few things. Number one, of course, always do your best at the next level, not at the current level, because promotion is a recognition for your readiness for the next level. So if you want a promotion, think and act as you are already at the next level. When the topic comes around, it's very natural. People will be sometimes, wow, really? I thought she's already there. So that's the ideal case, that's number one. Number two is rally advocates. So, you know, build relationships relationship with stakeholders, with leaders, make sure that you get the feedback along the way. If there's any growth areas, act on them and then show progress. Then I think these two are pretty within one's control, and just be vocal about it. Ask for it, because people may or may not know that's your desire, and may feel that, you know, you might be comfortable where you are, and that's fine. If you're not fine with it, just be a thicker skin person and ask. And if the feedback is, I don't think you are ready, then ask, what's the expectation and how do I get there? Can I get the relevant support to get there?
Yeah, that's so fantastic. That's such great advice. Elva, it's been a joy speaking with you today and catching up. And I wish you so much success in your career. I think I'm going to have you back on at some point to give you more advice and share your further progression. I know you're going to be a fantastic person to mentor other women in the future, because you're an absolute inspiration and you've done so well and achieved so much. And I'm so happy to have known you through my time in Oxford. And I'm so glad we are back in touch now.
Yeah, I know. Thank you so much for the very, very kind words. Really looking forward to continue the conversation with you, and we're due for a catch up as well. So really looking forward to that.
Thank you so much, Elva.
Hey, if you would like to improve your style, I invite you to work with me one-on-one for 6 weeks. We go through a complete style overhaul. It's a transformation that's going to have you looking and feeling like the best version of yourself. When you change your style, you change your life and your confidence improves. I want to see you succeed. I want to see you become the best version of yourself. And we start with style. So if you're interested, reach out to me on Instagram at thecurrencyofstyle.